Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, all you beautiful people, to this episode of the No BS Bishop. I am alive to love. All lesser values than love, I believe, just slide into and devolve into BS. It just becomes a bait and switch exercise when love does not have the center of our attention. It's important, it's imperative in our human relationships to maintain a decision, an attitude, a core, a complete aim at love in order for us to be productive, in order for us to move forward in this world and in this life. Love alone is credible. And that's what I've been saying right here on this radio broadcast, ultimately to become a podcast. Love alone is credible as we journey toward love. Now, I want you to hear that very specifically. I am not an expert in love. I am a pilgrim in love. I do not pretend to tell you things that I have completely researched and completely understood, because love is too far grand an enterprise. It is far too high in its transcendency above normal human behavior that no one can pretend or advertise themselves as an expert. I'm here as a pilgrim. I'm on a journey of love. I've made my fair share of mistakes, but I've also made my fair share of successes along the way to know that when a mistake happens, love teaches me how to own it. And when I've succeeded with love, love teaches me a humility about it and a respect for the beauty and the power and the carriage of love. Love is like a giant ship that will carry you in the oceans. And when the storms blow, that ship of love will hold on to you. Notice I didn't say love boat, so let's just get away from that right now. All right, here we go. Today's episode on the No BS Bishop Alive to Love, I do want to talk to you about the future of love. The future is just as bright as it is full of love. I am convinced that the future is bright for humanity. I am convinced that the future isn't bleak. I'm convinced that the future holds a wide vista of love, because at the end of all things, love will be the consummation. I'm convinced that God is love and love is God, and that God created all of creation. All the universe is the creation of God. And as such, it is a creation of love, for love, toward love, and it will be consummated in love. I see it exactly that way, which is why I say I'm alive to love, so that when I live by love in this present moment, I am in the current of history going forward toward love. Yes, I know. History is full of catastrophic blunders of humankind in missing what love looks like. But I'm also a student of history enough to know that when we miss the carriage of love throughout life and throughout history, when we miss it, the end result is bloody. It's miserable. It's violent. It's catastrophic on psychological levels, physical levels. The humanity crises that come out of the lack of love shout volumes to us, and will always shout a volume to us of how, if we will convert our living, our thinking, our center, our hold, our anchor away from hatred, or even lesser than hatred. It doesn't even have to be hatred as an expressed value, but just apathy or indifference toward love. When we get away from hatred or indifference toward love, and we move toward love, we invest in the future. I'm here to say today, the future looks like what you do today by love. Whatever is done in love today creates your future. So that's where I'm going to land today. This is where I'm going to spend my time today in discussing that with you. I've got about a dozen items that I want to lay in front of you, thoughts for you to peruse. So I want to get right to this. And if you've got a pen and pencil and a piece of paper to write these things down, I think you would do well to follow along with me as I share with you principles how to enforce and enact and act from love today to ensure a future of love. First of all, learn how to consistently cultivate an accountable community of love, a community of love around you that is accountable to that you are each one in some form or another, whether it be family or a neighborhood or an enterprise, a church, a business. Be sure that you give everyone the opportunity to speak about what was done in love or not in love. See, accountability isn't just to be accountable for what mistakes you made. I don't want to be accountable just for that. I do want to be accountable for that. Let me clarify that. I do want to be accountable for my mistakes. But you can't be accountable for mistakes without also being accountable for successes. In human relationships, love will teach you. We just can't be correcting each other from mistakes. We've also got to be equally, if not greater, encouraging one another for deeds of love. So learn how to create a tribe around you, a family, a corporation, a business, a community that is accountable to love. Knowing that we each come to our enterprises from a variety of definitions. And in those definitions, we're all trying to find out how we each speak to each other from our own realities. So that's first of all, create a hospitable, loving, accountable community. Second, listen in an extraordinary way. I don't know how else to say that more pointedly. Listen deeply. Listen extraordinarily. Listen with full attention. I think we're in need in the 21st century to learn how to give full attention. Now the next thing I'm going to say, I want to preface by saying I love my cell phone, I love my iPad, I love my MacBook Pro, I love my smart anything device, but I also recognize that it has created a whole new layer of dysfunction in human relationships. Our attention spans have been truncated. Our attention spans have been interrupted. Our attention spans have run into a wall. Because when we feel the vibration of your phone or you see a little alert on your device, you turn your attention away from humans around you and you look at your device. I do it. I have done that. And it has reminded me of the need to be aware of what we're doing when that happens. So learn how to listen extraordinarily, listening deeply, listening intently, listening for feelings behind the words, to find this balance between listening and acting and speaking. We don't do well in Western civilization. We don't do contemplative behaviors. We're not good at it. I'm not good at it, but I'm learning how to be good at it. I want to be more of a contemplative, meditative, soft, silent person. When silence is needed, I want to be silent in a productive, loving way. So first of all, create a community around you that's accountable to love. Second of all, learn how to listen extraordinarily. The next, this one is, it's always fumbling around in my life, and that is how to be advice-free. You know, as I've been a pastor for a half a century, you know, and that's a long time to do something like that. And as a pastor, it's an occupational hazard to feel like I've got to give advice. And I have learned the hard way many, many times. Not everybody needs or wants my advice. They need, as I said in number two, just to be listened to. So creating an advice-free zone is so important. It's so valuable. The greatest exercise in all the world is to love your neighbor as yourself without any need to recruit or fix or advise or any, just love your neighbor as yourself. Just be at peace about making sure they're loved right where they are without you having to give advice on anything. The fourth thing is to practice being honest and asking honest questions. Practice being honest. Now, what does that mean? Here again, Western 21st century civilization isn't doing honesty real well. I don't know how else to say that. I'm not always convinced that we're just outright lying, but I am convinced that we're dodging truths. We're dodging vulnerability. We're dodging saying what really needs to be said. We're skipping around honesty. So we have to practice honesty, and not honesty that is just brutal and harsh, but an honesty with yourself, an honesty about what is accurate, what is true. In 1 Corinthians 13 in the Bible, it says that love, it rejoices in the truth. Love rejoices in truth. It learns. Love is a learning experience with truth. And that probably deserves a whole nother BS, no BS Bishop episode. So we have to practice honesty and asking honest questions, not pointed questions, not directive questions, not asking questions to get somebody to do what I want them to do, but just ask good, solid, gripping, heart-pointed questions. And number five, we must always, here again, 21st century Western civilization, wow, giving room for unpopular answers. Now, I want you to hear this carefully. Love is big enough to hold an answer that's ill-informed. I want to say that other ways, but it would be unloving, all right? Love is big enough and strong enough to manage answers that are ill-informed, answers that are ignorant. Now, hear that carefully. Ignorant, not stupid. Ignorant means I don't know. Ignorant by giving an answer means, well, I don't know. But love says, you know, look, I know I'm ignorant in some ways. When I'm talking to somebody and I'm relating to them, I may need to give room for an unpopular, unhappy experience in the answer they give me. So when I get an answer I'm not real happy with, well, then it's time for me just to hold on. No, remember, I've been ignorant in a lot of things in life, and maybe this person that's giving me an answer is ignorant in this regard. And maybe by love I can give information that will give them information, so they can be informed. And you know that I want you to hear how I'm saying that, to be formed internally by truth. To be informed is to be formed within. So we got to give room. We got to give room for answers that we may not want to hear, and yet we've got to be patient by love. And number six, and how to ensure the future. If you came in late, what I'm talking about is how to guarantee that the future looks like love is by being loving today. Today's act of love guarantees tomorrow's totality of love. Number six is learning how to live with silence. You know, hearing in, we're living in a very loud culture. On every level, we're almost nervous with quiet. We're nervous with silence. I've never been to a nonverbal retreat, a retreat that says you're not going to get to speak for 48 hours. I've never been to one, but I would love to give that a go in my life. I know people that have gone to silent retreats, and they swear by it. They'll tell you immediately it's beautiful. I have been to a 5-day retreat where every device is forbidden, and that means your telephone, your iPad, your computer. You are not to bring a device to these 5 days of retreat, and there are emergency numbers available, obviously, to the staff that are there. But as a participant in that 5-day retreat, we were asked to put away our phones, put away our devices, put away our computers, and just be. To be in silence, to listen to the breeze, to listen to the birds, to listen, just listen to life. That also applies to in relationships with people. Respect silence. Don't force somebody. Don't feel like you have to force somebody to speak. If they're not ready to speak, then honor that. Love says, I give you room to just be quiet. And number seven, and that is to eliminate the need for judgment in your life. Get rid of judging people. Get rid of judging even yourself. Set aside judgments. Create room for life that doesn't have to quickly judge right or wrong, good or bad. Just be. Just allow for love to hold things in abeyance in the middle of, you know, right or wrong, black or white, and give room for love to be the judgment. See, I do believe that love can be a judgment, but it needs room to get there. So that, again, maybe is a whole nother No BS Bishop episode, how love really is the final judgment of all things. So number eight, deal with your assumptions. Deal with your assumptions. Are you assuming certain things about certain people in certain ways? Are you assuming you know what they're saying? Are we assuming what their actions were or weren't? Deal with assumptions. Assumptions are those things that come up in our life because of our own view of the world around us. When we identify our assumptions, when we can identify how we routinely assume things, well, then we're in a better place to be shaped in our own life. Hey, look, I'm 68. I've got a train load of assumptions, and I have to be consistently in touch with how I assume certain things about certain people. And when I do that, I can relate to anybody, really. And then later, you know, sort out what was an assumption and what was reality. It just takes practice. Love is a practice, by the way. Love is the practice of living your life outside of the need to control or manage other people, but simply to give them value because you're present, and you're present to see to it that their life is better because you showed up. So identify your assumptions. Listen, number eight, number nine, that was number eight. Number nine is be in touch with your own truth. And know that your truth isn't somebody else's truth. And then say, well, this is the truth I live by. How about you? You know, that goes back through this whole list, creating a space for listening deeply, learning something about other people. You know, somebody once said, learn something. It ain't going to kill you. It ain't going to kill you to learn something. Every day of everybody's life ought to be a learning experience, to learn something new. And to speaking your truth means you grant full permission for others to speak theirs. You know, number 10, when stuff gets tough, when life is difficult, when you're at an impasse with somebody, it's clear that an enmity is growing. I know you can have enemies and still be a lover. I want you to hear that. Jesus said, love your enemies. So if Jesus said, love your enemies, that means there will be enemies in this life. And I do understand that even when I'm a lover, I will find myself surrounded by enemies. Hey, Jesus was, you know, and he was the most loving human who ever lived. He was surrounded by enemies so much so that they crucified him. They executed him. So that being said, when things are at that point of enmity, when it's no turning back, this is an enemy standing in front of me, turn on your I wonder ideas. Ask yourself these questions. I wonder what's making this person act in this manner. Again, it's not a matter of excusing the behavior. It's a matter of understanding their behavior. You know, when we are judgmental, well, then we make quick assumptions about what's causing the enmity. And then we just walk away and wash our hands and say, well, that's that. I don't have to love them. No, Jesus said, love your enemies. If I'm going to love my enemies, I got to come to some terms with what's causing what they are in this world and in this life. And then I'm going to learn something. Again, it may not change the animosity between us, but it will certainly change me. It will certainly change you when I just simply ask, I wonder what's cooking in this person's life. Number 11. Now, this goes to something we practice here every episode of the No BS Bishop, and that is breathing. And in that regard, breathing is good for your physical health, but breathing is good for your mental health, and that is practice slowing down. Slow down. Slow it down. Just dial back the speed at which you're thinking. Dial back the speed of the encounter you're having with people around you. Slow this down. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a board meeting. I've been a part of nonprofit boards for most of my adult life. I've been on a local school board. I was for 18 years. I was the chairman of that board for about six of those 18 years. I understand what difficulties can arise in meetings, and when we have to argue through a certain point, and somebody says, "I move that we table this," you can almost feel everybody in the room go, "Oh no, no, let's get this done right now." And I have found anytime we hurry it up to try to get a decision, it's usually going to be a mistake. Slow it down. Table the motion in a business setting. Tabling the motion is probably the best way to tabling the emotions. Now, in personal relationships, slowing it down is going to give you a pace of managing love towards someone who you may end up, as I said just a moment ago, managing an enemy and wondering what has caused them to be at such odds with me. Slowing it down will cause your body, your temperature to lower, your blood pressure to lower. Slow it down will cause more room for love. Remember, every voice has some value, even if it's a voice of ignorance, even if it's the voice of animosity and enmity, that voice has a value. And in that, remember, give confidentiality to all, unless they give you permission to speak of what you've had problems with. Confidentiality is what the real core of this is. All voices have value, and as such, confidentiality is valid and important. Being a person of confidence means you give confidentiality. That's hard. And here again, I want to tell you, I'm not an expert at this. I'm a pilgrim. I have been guilty at times where I wanted to sound smart or sound informed, and I've said something that I think, oh my gosh, I wonder if that was confidential. You know, and I've had to go back, and that is hard. That is so difficult. I've had to go back and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry I spoke out of turn somewhere, and I may have breached something in our confidentiality. Most times people will give you forgiveness and recognize they too are battling similar challenges. But there's a few times in life when if you breach a sacred confidentiality, oh my, it is brutal. It is so brutal. And love is the only way to manage that brutality. And owning your own mistake, owning the value here's how you manage confidentiality. When you know something is a quote that belongs to somebody, you say, this belongs to John Smith. This belongs to Mary Jones. She said this. That's another part of confidentiality. Means you can have confidence in me that when you've said something, I'll give you credit. The other side of that is if Mary Jones or Bill Smith said something to you that they don't want shared, well, then you don't share it. And if anything, you make sure that it becomes a truth that you can put in another phrase that needs to help somebody else that has no kickback or relationship back to the person to whom you owe confidentiality. Now, that being said, I want you to hear me say that this list of 12 matters comes from the Valencia College, and it was prepared by their Peace and Justice Institute. They developed this, and you can go online and look up these matters that relate to maintaining solid principles of good, healthy treatment of one another. Now, I add my own value to this. This is how we are alive to love, by these 12 matters. They have researched this as a matter of practice for how we just treat one another well. So Valencia College, the Peace and Justice Institute, valenciacollege, all one word, .edu, PJI. You can go in and look that up. The Peace and Justice Institute from Valencia College. It's beautiful. It's magnificent. It's a great guide for how to give each other the kind of treatment we all are looking for in life. So, let's go to the practices that we do every time we gather here for the No BS Bishop. First of all, breathing. Remember I said earlier, slow it down. Slow life down. And one of the ways you can do that is breathe well. Breathe deep into the bottom of your lungs. I like to call it the basement of those lungs, down, pushing the diaphragm down with a good solid draw of air. You ready? One, two, three. Drag that air in. Hold it. Hang on. And exhale. Now, I don't have a lot of time here. I wish I could slow it down, but my time is running out. Do that exercise of breathing, 5 to 10 minutes every day, once a day. It'll lower your blood pressure. It'll give you peace. It'll settle your mind, even in the middle of chaos. And the second practice is like the first, really, and that is get eye contact, slow your life down, look somebody right in the eye, and say the three most magical, charmed words in all human language, whatever language it's in, whether it's French or Spanish or English. Those three words that are charming and magical are these words: I love you. Practice that. Practice looking somebody in the eye. It'll feel so weird and awkward. I understand that. I've had to get past that weirdness. But sometimes you got to make it weird to break through to a new level of life. The future looks like the practice of love today. So in your practice of love today, look somebody in the eye and say, I love you. It really is powerful. It's a connection like there are few other connections that can even come close to comparing to that moment. Well, thanks for being here today for another episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm honored. I'm truly, truly telling the truth. I am honored that you would give me a half an hour of your time. It blesses me to know that you would listen to me week in and week out. And I know that you are interested in improving your life, because I'm telling you the only true way of improvement is love. Be alive to love. Let lesser values be BS. And then go out into your world and do something beautiful, baby, because ugly. Ugly has been done to death. It's time for people of the beauty of love to show up. God bless you all. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m., and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.